141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a title-winning weekend in Scottish football. Celtic are champions, wrapping it up in style with a 5-0 win at Dundee United. Rangers' woes continue with a draw in Paisley, leading to more frustration from Barry Ferguson. Dyson Maida, Nicholas Kuhn, Callum McGregor and Simon Murray are on the shortlist for Player of the Year, with Arne Engels, Hamza Egeman, Lennon Miller and James Wilson on the Young Player shortlist. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Marvin Bartley and Motherwell's Players Player of the Year, Andy Halliday. Oh, what a weekend you've had. Bit of personal recognition.
Yep.
Is that safety guaranteed in the league as well?
No, absolutely not.
What?
Feels weird getting praised on a Monday. I don't know what's going on.
Listen, can't take it away from you. Players Player of the Year, Mr. Consistent.
It was a good weekend for once, except for 12:30 on Saturday morning when Celtic have won their 13th title in the last 14 years, so congratulations to them. There's obviously a shake-up towards the bottom six in the SPL. Another casualty in terms of our managers in Scotland, with Neil Critchley being relieved of his duties on Saturday night. But listen, Celtic have won the league. I'd rather talk about the best league in the country in the Championship. What a game on Friday night. Well done to Mark Wilson and Partick Thistle. All set for a brilliant weekend.
I'm glad he's here, because didn't manage to squeeze Neil Critchley being sacked by Hearts into the headlines. Massive win for Aberdeen. Marvin, there is so much happening. What a time of the season this is.
Yeah, it really is brilliant, you know, and there's been so much talk about, do we need to change a league, get more teams in, etc. I think the excitement over this weekend and the weekends that have led before it have been absolutely brilliant. Like you said, Neil Critchley unfortunately losing his job. Aberdeen, that was a massive victory for them. They needed that, you know, to beat Hibs 1-0. Hibs, unfortunately, you know, that was their 18th game. They're going for the record to be outright holders of the record. Unfortunately, lost that game. But yeah, listen, massive congratulations to Celtic. It looked like for a long time they were going to win the league. They're finally over the line and, you know, fully deserved.
But seriously, is that how humble you are? You don't even take any adulation, any praise for being voted your club's player of the year by your peers, your teammates?
Yeah, I feel a wee bit uncomfortable when I get praised, to be honest with you. But it was obviously, listen, it's always nice. I think any players, Marvin will tell you the same, it's always a wee bit sweeter when it comes for your fellow peers and your teammates. I don't really think we've had an outstanding candidate this year, to be honest with you. I think last year, obviously Theo had scored 25+, was a deserving winner that year. The year before, I think Van Veen scored 30+. I think this year top goal scorer's on 5, so it wasn't exactly going to be a prolific goal scorer that was going to get the award, but yeah, it was nice.
Were you expecting it? Did you think you were in the running?
I was half expecting it, because, like, you know what players are like, they'll come and say, oh, I voted you for the play.
And
it got to the point where a few people were voting me. I was like, oh, I must have a chance, but no, it was still close. It was close. I think Lennon got a fair chunk of votes as well, so.
There we go. 01419511025. That's the number you need. No shortage of talking points here, so let's hear from you. Celtic fans, you've won the league, congratulations. How'd you look back on it then? You did it in some style at Tannadice. So if you want to talk specifically about the game and the way that you have finished it all off, then please feel free. I suppose the only sour point would be that injury to Jota. But that aside, some impressive football on display. So what did you make of that? How does this title win compare? Because you've had a lot to choose from recently. So how does this one feel? What's been good about this one? What have been the standout moments? Give us a call, please, and let us know. If we're keeping it local, well, Paisley was yet another, a continuation really for you Rangers fans, it felt like, over recent weeks. Another game with drop points, another game with two goals conceded, another game with Barry Ferguson pulling no punches after the match. So give us your thoughts there, please. Hibs losing that unbeaten run, as Marvin says. Aberdeen getting the win. Hearts fans, where are you on this then? Was that the right decision to get rid of Neil Critchley? What did you make of that? Give us a call right now, please. Championship's ticking along nicely. The four-man shortlists for Player of the Year are out. We had a nice healthy debate about that last week. Do you agree or disagree with the lists that have been revealed? Let's do the lot between now and 8 o'clock, but only with your help, please. 0141 951 1025. Go on then, put us in the mood. What was your result of the weekend?
I'm going to go for a fellow Clyde One pundit. I'm going to go for Matt Wilson, Brian Graham and their men on Friday night. I thought it was a brilliant game, really entertaining to watch. I think the fact that Thistle had 10 men for such a large period of time, managing to hold on against a very good Falkirk side, and then the scenes when they get that that late winner at the end. And what it sets up is an unbelievable finale in the Championship. It's been a really entertaining league this year. I think everyone still makes Falkirk their favourites. I don't know if producer John will back that up, considering how they've went over the last few weeks, but I'm going to give it to Thistle this weekend.
Okay, your result of the weekend, Marvin?
It pains me massively to give it to them, but it has to be Aberdeen. As I said, you know, it was a huge game for them, you know, with Hibs having a better goal difference and being ahead of them. They needed to get the 3 points and they did that. So, a massive, massive result for them. Sold out Pittodrie as well, which is always brilliant to see. So Aberdeen have got my result of the weekend.
Okay, we'll stick with you, Marvin Bartley. What was your goal of the weekend?
Gone for Nicholas Kuhn at Celtic. Real good goal, team goal from back to front. Fantastic finish. And obviously, listen, it was one of the five that made them go on and win the league. So yeah, that is my goal of the weekend.
You're usually Mr. Team Goal.
I can't this weekend.
Are you happy with that?
Oh, it was brilliant. But I've went away from what I'm used to. I always go for a team goal at the weekend, as you know. But when you've got a goal with a season contender,
I think it
and
is.
Kevin Nisbet strike at Pittodrie, I think it's got to get the nod. It was unbelievable technique. And you know, he's leaning back, he's back pedaling 2-3 yards. When he takes it on his chest, he knows he can't get any power on it, so he just chooses to just direct it with his laces. And I mean, it can't be any more inch perfect.
It was amazing. I loved it. I don't know why. You know, I think maybe it's because
it's the improvisation in it. It's such an unnatural finish. When you see that chest control, you're expecting just a laces power
shot. Quite an unusual
volley.
You know, because as good as they are, you see people just lashing one into the top corner quite a lot, but it's
like a chip volley.
I feel like you don't see very many of those.
Brilliant goal. Like Andy, for all the things that Andy said there, brilliant, brilliant goal from him. And I think it will be goal of the season as well, by the way.
And it's refreshing to see somebody celebrate against an old club, you know what I mean, Gordon?
We did speculate at the weekend as soon as it went in. We did wonder. There we
go. He's always going to celebrate against Hibs.
What about your howler of the weekend? What are you going for?
And Budge. For anyone who hasn't seen it, go online and see it. Obviously, you know, questioned about Neil Critchley losing his job. I thought it was distasteful, if I'm honest. I get it, you know, you've got a microphone in your face, you've maybe just got out of a car, but surely they were expecting it.
Anyone who hasn't, she's doorstepped, as they call it, coming out or getting into the Hearts Player of the Year Awards, asked about the club sacking Neil Critchley, and she says, "That's yesterday's news, I'm on my way into this event," which was quite something.
Yeah, anyway. Which is quite something, yeah.
Okay. Hearts fans, give us a call. What's going on with your club at the moment? Andy Howler?
Well, I was going to give it to Ross Hardy for Hearts' disallowed goal in the last minute. I don't think there's too much of a foul between Craig Gordon and Trevor Carson. But since Marvis took the capital and picked Dan Budge, I'm going to go for the decision to send off Aguiman on Friday night. I'm going to stick with Friday night's game. Well, I think at that period in time, I think Falkirk are going there for the win, but a point going into the final game of the season, I think it gives them a wee bit more breathing space. And I think the decision to send them off was remarkable, honestly. I can't believe he's been given a red card for that. Then goes to 10 men all, gives Partick Thistle that wee bit of momentum, and they find the winner in the last minute.
It's not even a foul, is it?
It's unbelievable he's given a red card for that.
One of the worst decisions I've ever seen.
Okay, where are we now? Result, top performer of the weekend?
Well, I'm going to go for Simon Murray. I think it's just another weekend where he comes up with a big moment for Dundee in a game where they were under the cosh in terms of control of the game for a long period of time. And it just seems as if he only needs that one or maybe two chances to grab the headlines for Dundee. And it wasn't the prettiest of finishes, but again, he's the right man in the right moment for Dundee. And you know, he tops off what's a pretty good weekend for himself by getting in the nominations for the PFA Player of the Year. So he's my performance of the weekend.
I'm going to go with another striker, Bruce Anderson. You know, kind of been in and out of the team at Kilmarnock. That's his 10th goal of the season. A massive, massive victory for them as well. You know, it's going to be extremely tight in the bottom six. So, yeah, Bruce got a goal and an assist. And last time we spoke about Bruce on the show, he wasn't very happy, by the way. He sent me a message because him and his mum were listening and we said he had 5 penalties and I think he only had 4. So he wasn't happy with that. He's got 10 goals for the season, Bruce. So if you are listening, mate, well done.
Okay, there we go. 01419511025. That's the number that you need. So give us a call, let us know what's on your mind tonight. Celtic fans, you've won the title. How does it feel? How do you look back on it? What does this one mean? How does this one compare? What were the standout moments? What was the key to it? What's the manager's role, the player, etc., etc.? There's always so much that goes into this. This is like the big period of reflection, I suppose, because we've all known that it was on since, I don't know,
the second game of the season.
Maybe. But you know, you still have to go and do it. You have to do it well, because you've actually, you know, at Celtic, the bar's been raised to the point where it needs to be done particularly well, or people end up sort of scoffing at it.
Yeah, there's such high standards, like you said there, Gordon. Just winning isn't enough for Celtic. You know, the fans want to be entertained. They have to play in a certain manner. And whenever they drop away from that, you know, people are quick to question them. And during this run, Brendan Rodgers, you know, after the St. Johnstone game, he had a bit of a poke at his players, and their reaction has been, you know, unbelievable. And that's what you expect from top players. He's obviously got, you know, brilliant ability, but also a really, really good dressing room. And as you said there, you know, to go on and win the title for them, they'll be absolutely delighted with that.
Thomas is a Celtic fan, first through. How does this title win feel, Thomas?
Obviously, the last the game against Johnstone, obviously, we'll make it bait. You know, the last two games have been absolutely class. And obviously, the style of football against us, it took us a while to break them down, but seeing we broke them down, it was absolutely vintage. You know, the goals, some of the goals are absolutely fantastic. You know, and obviously, hopefully, we get this treble. Hopefully, we beat Aberdeen in the final and get the treble. You know, but I would like, obviously, like the board again to give Brendan again the money. It's, the money he's spent on this team even more, and hopefully become more dominant. Yeah, well, next season, Grand Europe as well.
Yeah, I mean, Thomas is talking about the way it was done, Andy. That's since the St. Johnstone, is it? It's 15 goals scored, isn't it, in the three games since? So that probably tells its own story about the reaction.
Yeah, and I think Brendan Rodgers deserves a lot of credit for that. You know, we'll credit Celtic, we'll credit the players, and quite rightly so. But Brendan Rodgers, it would have been quite easy for him to give a pass for his players after the St. Johnstone performance, because it's not been a performance that we've seen throughout the season for them. And everyone, we've talked about how much we've been anticipating and waiting for Celtic to win the league, and he clearly didn't want to do that. He wanted to go out in fashion, and wanted to sprint over the line, as he says. And as you pointed out, 15 goals in the last three games. What is it, 12 in the first half? So, I mean, they're just blitzing teams like they were probably doing at the start of the season, it has to be said. And it was a funny game at the weekend, because Dundee United started the game fairly well. You thought after the first 20, 25 minutes, it could be a stuffy afternoon for Celtic. But as soon as that first goes in, they were just excellent throughout.
Maybe feels, in a way, Marvin, that Saturday's win does sort of sum up the title win. You know, how far ahead Celtic are. And again, you... I won't keep mentioning the caveat. Everybody knows they should be ahead to a point because of the budget and the history of success recently. But it's not that easy. I mean, they went to Tannadice and drew 0-0 earlier in the season. Dundee United have the best defensive record outside of Celtic and Rangers. They're having a very good season. But they managed to eat, and they managed, I was going to say survive, it's a bit strong, but they're not on top in the first 15-20 minutes, maybe even more than that. And yet still, as Andy says, when there gets that period that the foot goes down, it's very difficult to stop.
Yeah, they managed to grind teams down. Thomas has mentioned it there, because, you know, for the first 15 or 20 minutes, like you say, you can stick with Celtic, but, you know, they're constantly working, they're constantly moving from side to side, and they've got forward runners and everything else. And Andy will tell you, you know, mentally and physically, you begin to tire, and it takes one player to switch off. And then Celtic, you know, they exploit that space and they put the ball in the back of the net. As you said, is it expected from them? Yes, but that doesn't make it easy. You know, constantly those players every single day have to train to the best of their ability, because one, they want to be playing in that team, and two, they want to stay in the squad, you know, for seasons coming. So, yeah, listen, it's not easy to do what they've done. Like you said, a 5-0 win. You know, what a way to win the title. And Brendan Rodgers will keep on them as well, by the way. Like Andy said there, they won't come off it in the rest of these league games. He sets standards. He realises if you start to come away from that, it's so easy to then go into a lull. He won't allow that to happen at Celtic Football Club.
What is this one? What is good about this one in particular, Thomas? Because like we said, you know, you've won a lot, and they've all maybe got their own sort of feature about them that you liked. What was good about this one? What did this one mean?
The manner and how we done it, Gordon. You know, obviously the game against Johnstone, that was really was a poor game and all. But ever since that, as I say, five goals in the last three games. You can't ask any more. I just think it was really, really good. And obviously, Brendan's not wanting four league games to go. There's so much point here. Kind of, I think, guys, we need to keep going. You know, just.
Yeah, it's never going to be the be all and end all. But I think that looking at the goal scored column is quite obviously, you know, it's why everybody goes to games. It's why everybody watches it. You want to see your team score goals. Mm-hmm. They're at 102 now with four games to go. I think Ange's team with 114.
Yeah,
was the record. So I mean, anything in that ballpark tells you how convincing they've been in an attacking sense.
Yeah, and I think what's equally impressive is the total amount of goals scored. It's how much they're distributed throughout the squad. It's not like somebody, like, you know, we're talking about Maeda being clearly the front runner for player of the year. He's not scored 30 plus in the league. You know, he's got 16 league goals, so it just shows you how much has been distributed evenly. Kuhn's chipped in with a lot of goals, and McGregor and Engels, and even Alistair Johnson for right back, the goals that he scored this season. So it's been mightily impressive. I know we're talking about domestically, and they're obviously set for an R treble, but I think what maybe makes it a wee bit more special this season overall has been that progression in Europe. It's something that we spoke about Celtic for such a long period of time. It's why they wanted to, you know, increase the finances and try and, you know, have a bit more of a goal. Celtic fans have been talking about it so much, about how aggressive they want them to be in the that summer recruitment. And I think that progression in Europe has obviously been impressive. And I'm sure, you know, Thomas has talked about another pot of money for Brendan Rodgers. We'll look to increase even further in the Champions League.
Thank you, Thomas. Let's hear Brendan Rodgers, who's praising his players after securing that title with the 5-0 win at Tannadice on Saturday.
It all boils down to an idea of how you want to play. And when we've needed to, we've turned up. And that's the reality. We knew this was going to be a tough game. And it was a tough game, despite the scoreline. We had to stand up for the first 15 minutes. And then from that, our football comes into it and we score five and could have had more. So, so happy. I'm really pleased just with the progress of the team. We've won more games than last season, scored more goals, we conceded less. And it's just the case of just working our way through now to finish the season as strong as we can.
James is on the other line. How are you, James?
Good evening, chaps. How are you?
Good. Probably not as good as you. What did you make of the weekend?
It's just that this 55 year we've been going for years talking about it. Remember, we called it. I was going to see how it's going to go next year when we get to 56. Plus, we're going to be three in front in trophies as well at the end of the season.
There you go. Never let it be said that people don't enjoy the moat. James is just more bothered about next season.
He's already moved on.
You don't enjoy this one first, James.
Oh, I've enjoyed this one. That's why I've got a sore throat.
I've enjoyed it on Saturday night, and now it's all about next May. If people want to, that the bragging rights element of it, then who are we to disagree, Marvin?
Yeah, exactly. James has, you know, enjoyed it for 48 hours, and now he's moving on to next season. They got a Scottish Cup as well coming up, haven't they? Which is, you know, like you said there, to get the treble. But yeah, listen, Celtic have been brilliant. You know, James has obviously enjoyed his weekend, and you know, Brendan Rodgers will be looking forward to next season now as well. But as I said, you know, he might give players opportunities during these last few games, and obviously they're going to the Scottish Cup at the end of the season, but it still say the standards have to be so, so high, because now you're fighting for your futures at Celtic. It's that simple. When a team are winning things, they always want to evolve. We've seen it. He's gone out, he's spent money before, he'll go to the board again, and unfortunately when you bring players in, some have to leave the football club. So, you know, those players will realise they will enjoy it, but then realise they have to keep working hard.
Do you notice how I put the question about trophy totals to Marvin?
Yeah, I like that view. Thank you. Like, thanks for that.
Like, you anything to add? No,
it's been impressive.
No comment.
No, listen, I'd be interested to hear James is talking about obviously going again and getting the next league title. Where do you see James where Celtic have to improve the squad and improve the starting 11 going into next season?
For the new goalkeeper, he's actually come on a bit of folks, and Michael's actually helped him. I'd like to see another centre defender or a holding midfield player. But I think the strikers could be another option as well. But as I say, three players, listen, that would be my strength to get me up players.
Before we let you get carried away to next year, James, what did you look back on this one? You know, what stood out about it?
Dyson Maeda is going to be player of the year for all different reasons. But the time in Europe, we put our marker down. I hope we get a good draw for the next year. And I want 56 now.
James is he's zoning in on that every day. He's going to be counting it down on his calendar. Glad you enjoyed your weekend, James. Hope that sore throat clears up. 0141 951 1025. What about you, Celtic fans? We always pick over the title wins in quite a lot of detail. Have you got standout moments, standout performances, unsung heroes, maybe, whatever you want? How do you look back on it all? If you give us a call right now, there's a good chance we will get you on next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Andy Halliday are here, so give us a call. Looking back on the weekend, Celtic's title win first and foremost, but loads to get through. What about events in Paisley a bit later on? Rangers fans, St Mirren fans, what did you make of that? Big results at every other part of the league, really, as well. When you look through it, the PFA shortlists have been revealed. Hearts have sacked their manager. Definitely keen to hear from you Hearts fans at some point. Was that the right decision or not? He's only been in since October. What did you make of it? Give us a call, please. John's a Celtic fan. How do you look back on this title win, John?
How you doing, guys? 2 points I'd actually like to make to you. But
go for it.
The first one is regarding, what I'm looking for is for, obviously, maybe no for Sunday, but I want to see Celtic rest a lot of the big hitters so we can have the best possible team together going into this cup final. I'd like them to see maybe like, say, Callum McGregor's and Maeda and whatever. I know Maeda in itself is obviously looking to beat all sorts of scoring records and stuff like that, but I just want to have the best possible chance with the final and no end up picking up silly injuries like obviously what happened with Jota.
Yeah, I suppose that is the next challenge to see what Celtic, how they go about the remainder of the season.
Yeah, those players won't want to come out though. John mentioned Maeda, obviously going for top goalscorer, etc. But even the rest of them, when a team's winning games of football, there's nothing better. Andy will tell you, being out there on the football pitch, that they'll probably want to go into that cup final thinking, we're in good form, rather than, we've spent the last two or three games on the bench. I think he will change it up a little bit, but again, players have to earn the right to come to the team and play. He's not just going to hand it to them. But as I said, I can't see many players going to Brendan Rodgers saying, do you know what, I want to rest up now, wrap me in cotton wool until the cup final. They want to be out there, they want to play every single game for Celtic, get as many points as they possibly can and score as many goals as they possibly can as a team.
Andy, it's that way that people always expect maybe, opportunities to be given to other players or try some things out. What's the balance though? Because John wants, I'm putting words in his mouth, but the wrap in cotton wool, this sometimes can take an edge off people, can't it? You maybe want them to stay at it a bit.
Yeah, but they've got four games left of the SPL season. I'm sure there will be rotation within it, but I think players will try to, they want to stay in rhythm, they want to have momentum going into this final. Actually, what I was looking at Celtic's bench at the weekend against Dundee United, and it's crazy with a couple of returning injuries how much stronger the bench looks at it. When you look at the weekend, they had James Forrest was obviously back in the fold, Paolo Bernardo back in the fold, you still got Jeffrey Schroep, McEwen, Ida, Trusty, Ralston. So they have got a lot of quality in the bench that can come in and make an impact. But I'm sure all the players that are still currently playing just now will be more than happy to play the last four games under slightly less pressure, it must be said. But they want to keep that rhythm and momentum going into the final against Aberdeen.
Pleased with the way the title was wrapped up, John?
Sorry,
I was just saying, how pleased were you with the way the title was wrapped up?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, obviously, losing that game with St Johnstone, nobody even knows where that came from. Even St Johnstone were probably shocked by it. It would have been nice to get done at Celtic Park a couple of weeks ago or against Kilmarnock. So I am just glad we're now finally over the line. And the done is done. But can I make a quick other point to you?
Go for it, yep.
And it's actually Andy, because I know Andy does, when he picks out the goal of the weekend and stuff like that, and he normally goes for the boys in the lower leagues. Can't I believe you never went for that day, John Golding score.
You're right, John. Do you know what? And I made a mental note to mention it and I forgot. You do it for me. Take it away.
What a goal. That's got to be a contender for goal of the season. He picked it up and he's in the box.
Oh,
took it past a few boys, took it inside out and then slammed in the bottom corner. Absolute belter.
I'm glad John's here. See when people hold us to account, because I wanted to mention it. Deshaun Golding, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was out of this world. If you've not seen it for Elgin at the weekend,
defending was decent as well, though.
Forget that. That sums you up.
One of the, I think it's number two, loses the ball, mate. Him trying to run back reminded me of myself in the over 35s the other day. There was no turn of pace there at all.
Yeah. It was a good goal, though, John, I'll give you. But as Marvin said, it was the lack of defending that meant that I've edged Kevin.
Poor from you. I'm with you, John.
It was some goal, though.
I thought it was good. I mean, John, like, this title's been, everybody knew it was coming, it was inevitable. Do you feel, did they do it in the sort of satisfactory manner that impressed you over the piece?
I think so. Obviously, it was a great start to the season where they were just blowing teams away. And then I think everybody says the effect to Europe and stuff like that. And I think this year, it kind of did affect Celtic a wee bit, the two games a week and stuff like that. And it just had a wee stutter. Obviously, losing twice to Rangers isn't great. Losing to Hibs, losing to St Johnstone. There was games we didn't expect them. So there was that dip in the middle. But then obviously they brought it back the last 15 goals in the last three games. Makes a huge difference to any team.
Yeah, I mean, Brendan Rodgers said it though, Marvin. John is rhyming off the low points, but that's not many, you know. And I know obviously the head to heads with Rangers then bring about a real spotlight, and we'll probably get onto that later in the week as we build up to the weekend. But they lost 29. They've only lost four games this season.
Yeah.
And I think they, you know, that when you compare that to other seasons, that stacks up quite well, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly that. You listen, as I always say, you know, the players, they aren't robots. For a lot of the teams in this league, it's a cup final going up and playing against Celtic. So, you know, you're raising your game. Sometimes they come off the back of playing in Europe, which, you know, Andy spoke about at the start of the show, where they managed to progress in that as well. And they're having to take their game probably to a different level as well than what they do domestically to go through there. So, yeah, listen, they've only lost four games of football. The standards have been ever so high. And for anyone who's out there who's been a professional footballer, you understand how difficult it is to do what these boys are doing day in, day out, week in, week out, going on and winning league titles. They still have that hunger and that appetite to do it. So I don't think there's anything that you can look at in terms of Celtic season and say we're disappointed with that. Yes, the St. Johnson game, you know, that they'll be upset that they went there and lost that game of football. But, you know, it was one of those games. It was a one-off. Hibs beat them. We all know what happened in terms of the VAR stuff with that. But listen, in terms of their season, it's been absolutely brilliant. They're on course to, you know, win a treble, and Brendan and the players will be, you know, just wanting to do that now, get it over the line.
We spoke about this briefly at the weekend, Andy. You're always big on the goals conceded column as well, and looking at how tight defences can be. But really, at both ends, everybody knows the points gap because you mention it every week. Something I hadn't really looked at, I hadn't really considered. We were checking all throughout the weekend.
The 47 goal difference.
47 between the top two in terms of goal difference. That is massive.
It's remarkable. And I don't know if that's how good Celtic have been or how poor Rangers have been. Of course, it's a mixture of both, but it just shows the gap between the two clubs at this present moment. Yes, 17 points is obviously a huge number, but I do think that goal difference column, I think, staggering the difference between the two sides. You know, the goals against column has been extremely impressive, especially at home. I think, you know, the only two teams that have scored against Celtic before that Kilmarnock game was Aberdeen and Rangers at Celtic Park, and then obviously Danny Armstrong gets his cross come shot in at the top corner. But at home they've been, you know, pretty much as faultless as ever, except for a game here or there. But yeah, it's been an emphatic.
They're just ruthless, though, aren't they? In both boxes, Celtic are so ruthless. Like, you know, whether they're winning a game, you know, whether it's 1-0 or 5-0, they defend for their lives. You know, they really have like a real desire to go out there and keep clean sheets. And that's a massive, massive thing. When you've got players at one end scoring goals free-flowing, and then players at the other end saying, you're not coming, you're not scoring goals, you're not even getting shots on target. It's, you know, you put those two things together, you're always going to win championships. But yeah, defensively, they've been unbelievable as well.
See, watching the game back at the weekend as well, we talk so much about styles of play and the style difference between the two clubs, and every team that will play Celtic will analyse all week about the rotations they've got in the wide areas to get to that sort of inside channel position, the flash across the box, second goal, third goal, fourth goal, carbon copy each other. And again, it's as much as you can work on it. When Celtic have the pace and the intensity and the quality they do, it's so hard to stop, and it's the reason they've scored that type of goal so many times.
What does this all say for Brendan Rodgers, John? Everybody knows the story now, where he comes back and not everyone's convinced, and people still a bit hurt by the first time and so on. He now becomes the third most decorated Celtic manager, the most decorated living Celtic manager after the weekend.
Yeah, amazing. I think it's great what he's done, and I don't know if you guys seen it on Sky. When they were doing the interviews on the pitch, and Chris Sutton just started hitting them with random questions, but they were like decisive questions and stuff like that about his future, etc. And that, so that was really good. He kind of opened up and he went, "I'll be here for next season. All the stuff you've heard about, I might be here, I might not be there. I will be here." So great for him. Great for James Forrest as well, being the most decorated Celtic player as well. So great weekend.
Let's actually hear a bit from Brendan Rodgers on that. He is adamant his future lies at the club for next season.
It's been interesting, I've got to say, the last few months. People decided where I was supposedly going, and I wasn't happy. But what I can tell you, and I would say, listen to what I say, not what people try to anticipate my mood and what I might be. I can tell you, I said 150%, 200%, I'll be here for sure and next season, because we want to build again and we want to grow. But what I'll also say, there's very, very few people that know me, and there's even less understand me. So that's a really, really small group of people. So when I see all the headlines and all the... I don't have an agent, so I don't have an agent spinning a story for me or anything like that. It's just a guess. So if there's a headline out there, I am telling you, and you guys, it's a guess. Because I have hardly anyone who knows what I think and actually understands how I work. But, absolutely, Robert, so, so happy. I came back because of my the professional challenge of Celtic, knowing the pressures. My emotional attachment to the club clearly has me here rather than be elsewhere. And just the chance to be the most, you know, to be the best manager at Celtic that I can possibly be. And days like today makes it really special.
It's funny that John mentions here, just in case anyone didn't realise, that's not the Sky interview. That is a separate interview, and it is word for word, almost like Brendan Rodgers had an exact point that he was trying to get across. Even the bit that people will get tattooed on them, the what was it, there are very few people that know me and even less that understand me. I think Hugh Keevan should get that tattooed on
over the off-season.
What Brendan Rodgers should have said was, listen to what Brendan Rodgers says, not what Roger Hanna says at Clyde One on a Monday, because he was speculating his future was away for
that's what he's speaking about.
We all knew Brendan Rodgers was an avid listener of the show, didn't we?
That's true. But yeah, like I said, just that's just a smaller point. Clearly so keen to make that. It's the exact same. John was talking about the on-pitch interview with Sky, and he's right, that was separate. That was a good bit after, in a room somewhere at Tannadice. He's gone and delivered it word for word.
Yeah, he's obviously been frustrated, and rightly so. You know, when people are speaking on your behalf and they have no idea of actually what's going on, and you know what it's like, social media is like wildfire as well. All of a sudden, you know, other people are picking it up and they're saying, oh, he's going to leave the football club, etc., etc. He's obviously happy at the football club. He said that it'll be 200%, he'll be there next season. And why not? You know, they're winning titles, they're playing extremely good football. And it's one of those things as well. He probably left before and realised, you know, how much he actually missed it being at Celtic Football Club. And then when the opportunity came back, up he comes up the road again and he's enjoying himself. And as I said, they're progressing, you know, they're winning titles, they're progressing in Europe, you know, he's getting money to spend as well. You know, why would he not want to stay here?
I think he sort of is living out that expectation that we spoke about Celtic overall, Andy, as well, where everybody expects him to win titles, everybody thinks they're favourites to win title. So same for him coming back here, he had to do it with a certain level of swagger about it, and then probably add that European bit as well. Would he, because of all the past, like we said, would he have got away with sort of limping over the line?
No.
Maybe not winning cups, you know, like we said, not progressing in Europe.
No, I agree with you completely. I still remember to the day when Brendan Rodgers was appointed for the second time, and you know, the amount of callers that came on this show saying they weren't happy with it. He's left them once, he could do it again. He had so many doubters that he had to win over, and to do that you felt as if he had to win every trophy available to him, and probably an emphatic style as well, and they've managed to do that. He's obviously won a lot of people back. It would just be very interesting to see if Tottenham come in for him in the summer, what he's got to say for it, because I still you get persuaded with certain clubs bending, but
that's what you're hoping, that's
wishful thinking from him, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly what Andy wants to happen. No, listen, he said it there, he'll be there. You know, I'm sure he will be. And as I said, you know, he's enjoying it. And, you know, so much so that people have forgotten about Ange Ball as well. So he's obviously done a really good job.
Thank you to John. Let me tell you about this before we go further. This is our biggest ever cash prize. And that is saying something, because we've been giving away serious amounts of money over the past few months. But if you fancy winning £531,000, text YES to 61025. The texts are 250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at makemeawinner.co.uk for 250, or call 03434 269 340, and the calls are charged at a standard rate as well. It is over 18s only. All the rules for this Rail Network competition are on our website, and the lines close at 5 p.m. on Friday. So text YES to 61025. Good luck.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Marvin Bartley are here at 01419511025. Give us a call. Let us know how you're feeling. Are you looking back on the title win like the Celtic fans have been so far? You can keep going because there's so much to get through there in terms of key performers. I think everybody knows the key performer, but have there been others? Have there been unsung heroes? What's been the key to it? Any standout moments for you, or is it just all very consistent along the way? Do let us know. Still plenty of time to do it, and of course I'm sure we'll reflect on different elements of it as the week progresses. Let's turn attentions to Paisley on Saturday. How would you sum that one up, Rangers fans? I know you're probably sort of scunnered now and there'll be apathy setting in, but is this now getting worse? You know, they were looking for that at least slight reaction. People were happy with elements of what they saw when Barry Ferguson came in. Is it now getting worse? Have the players chucked this? Are the management getting it wrong? What's the script? Why is there still a failure to win games? And where did it go wrong at the weekend? Let us know, Andy. Three in a row against St Mirren without victory. 1 point from three games.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter whether we're talking about stats or records or what the eye test is telling you. It's just not been pretty reading or pretty watching for Rangers this season. Recently not got any better either, you've got to say. That's them winless in five and in all competitions. They're conceding goals at will. And it just feels as if not only the fans and the club are just waiting for the season to end and get the takeover done and look forward to next season, but you've got to say it feels as if the players feel the kind of same way as well. It's just the season's petering out for them. They've got a small matter, another Old Firm game coming up this weekend where they've obviously fared really well over the last two games. But it's been a really, really disappointing campaign, and you were hoping for a club's perspective that the players can try and finish the season as strongly as possible, put themselves in the frame for whoever the next manager is going to be, and see if they can try and force their way into plans for the next season. But yeah, it was another poor showing at the weekend in Paisley.
Because look, I get there are degrees of meaningless, and I get why people say, well, the league's it's gone anyway or whatever, but you know, once Saturday at 3 o'clock rolls around, I like to think there's still always that bit. You know, you pay your money to go, you watch it wherever you are, and people will watch that all over the world. For 90 minutes, you do kind of forget about that. You just want to see your team performing on the pitch. And it does mean, you know, it's never truly meaningless, is it? You could see that from the Rangers fans. We heard from a lot of them after the game, you know, on Saturday as well. They want better.
No, absolutely. And listen, players train every day, and in training they'll have small sided games, and you should want to win them equally as much as you want to win games at the weekend. So there's always that personal pride to do well for yourself, do well for your team, and do well for your football club. And I just haven't watched the game back on Sunday. I just felt as if there was no urgency within their play. Loads and loads and loads of unforced errors individually, collectively, obviously not a great performance either. But the fact of the matter is, you see the following that Rangers fans still take, even though they've just lost the league that day. And listen, what they're expecting is they're expecting a win. They're expecting a good showing. They're wanting to see maybe young players integrated in the team and doing well. But ultimately, they just want to see their team go and win at the weekend. And they never managed to get the result again. But again, not really many positive performances to take away from it either.
Well, let's bring in Robert and see what he is making of it all after that weekend. Robert, take it away.
All right, guys. I just was listening there and I said I'll phone in because I thought the boy Kelly made an absolutely fantastic statement at the weekend. Quite controversy, but the money, he's bang on the money. He just says that he wishes all the players would listen to what the management team tell them before they put a foot onto the park. And if they did, they wouldn't be getting the results or the performances that they're putting in. And I feel so sorry for Barry, but I'll let you come back to me. I've got another wee point to make.
Yeah, I think it was your old teammate, Liam Kelly. I don't know if you've seen the quotes that Robert's referring to. I can't work out why people don't do what the manager and the coaches tell them to do. Clear instructions were given. We knew St Mirren were going to come off the game, pass the ball backwards, then jump on top of us. We were told that when we go back, you play forward, etc. So, is that sort of how the game went for you?
Well, I think it's something that Stephen Robinson and something they've done very, very, very well. Not only just against Rangers, but against Celtic. I thought they've always been extremely well organised out of possession. They try and force Rangers into certain areas of the pitch to go and jump them and press them and steal the ball in tight areas. And you've seen it work on a few occasions at the weekend. I remember Killian Phillips on two separate occasions stealing the ball off John Souter at the edge of Rangers' box, and they created opportunities from it. Liam Kelly obviously plays the kind of slap back pass that Mikel Mandon intercepts and gets a good shot at goal. So a lot of St Mirren's chances that they do create comes from pressure at the top end of the pitch. But again, whether that's not being able to listen or not having the quality to follow out within the instruction, I think it's two separate things. And I think there's a bit of both within it. I just think Rangers don't
that's
have the quality.
Though, Andy, no? That's
yeah,
their
it does.
Basic instructions. Come on, players at that level have to be able to take that on board. It seems to me there's a mentality problem there that the fans are labelled at Rangers players for a while now. And I think it's ringing true. You know, normally you'd expect players to come out and say, well, we'll show you. You don't think we're good enough. You don't think we're mentally strong enough. You don't think we can come to places like Paisley and grind out results. We'll show you. But rather, it looks like the players are just trying to look after themselves now as yeah. individuals.
But see what I will say as well, though, Marvin, watching the game back, is I lost count the amount of times that Rangers did play forward straight balls that ran all the way through at the goalkeeper. So it's not as if the instruction of playing forward actually worked either. Again, yeah. I would still like to see Rangers control the game more, play through the thirds, manage to find players in the pockets, and it's exactly what they done when they got their two goals. Mm-hmm. Their two goals came from straight balls into the pockets to Dessers for the first goal and Raskin for the second. They get turned and they have a strike at goal. Again, I still thought they were far too direct at the weekend for me, and when you've got the likes of Gogic and Marcus Fraser and Taylor, they do it so well when they marshal the strikers and they force them into areas and they let the ball run through the goalkeeper. And I thought even that played into St Mirren's hands as well. So yeah, listen, Liam Kelly and players say that puts it down to instruction, but it's just been it's been symptomatic in Rangers' season.
What else are you thinking, Robert?
Another two wee points. Funny enough, and I might be proved wrong, and a lot of people, I've got people both sides of the Old Firm, and they know I always try and talk for the heart and talk. Honestly, I've just got a gut feeling again they'll probably put a right good performance in on Sunday. Again, guys, it's no good enough. We need to do it every week. You can't just turn up at the big games and even the Thursday night games. It's as if it's two different teams you're watching. I just can't get my head around it. But anyway, I'm just looking forward to the end of the season. Celtic's won it. Then take my hat after them. No, I mean, they've done it in style, the way we done it when Gerrard scored, when Gerrard got the stoked him. And the other wee thing I need to say for my dad, God rest him, is I was watching the Thistle game and I was so happy for him, and hopefully they'll pull it off as well. But as I said, it's the season's been absolutely shocking, and I feel sorry for Barry and his Signy. And again, I'm not being disrespectful to him, but I just think this company's coming in, they're going to invest a lot of money. I hope he gets a job somewhere in the line, because you can see what it means to him. He knows what the fans are, and he's no a kiss in the badge and whatever. I mean, Barry's been brought up through the ranks, and he knows what like it is, and obviously it's like everything else. No, I mean, you've got to put in the performance, you've got to put the work in to achieve the trophies at the end of the season, and we've just not been doing it. No, I mean, I thought they might have sneaked it for Europe.
Do you think it's getting worse? And I'm not saying this is Barry Ferguson's fault, because it could be just a symptom of the fact that everything is gone and then the players don't have it with it. Maybe it's the players' fault, so I'm not blaming, but do you think it's getting, is there an argument to say it's getting actually worse than it was previously? I mean, it's four, these are not all Barry Ferguson games, by the way, but it's 4 wins and 14 now. That's quite, you know, that's quite remarkable. And is it, what is it, they've conceded at least 2 in 10 of the last 12 games?
Yeah, I would argue that it's not getting any better. And like you said, that's not down to Barry Ferguson, clearly, because Liam Kelly comes out and says the players aren't following instructions. I look at some of the goals that Rangers concede, the one from the long throw the other day. You know, as a defensive player, when you've got players coming back into your zone, you're making sure that they're, you know, on the second balls, they're marking players, everything's sorted out nice and early. And it just seemed to me that the Rangers, you know, defenders were just worried about themselves. You know, not worried about anything else. They weren't organising anything at all. I spoke about Celtic having that ruthlessness when they were defending. Rangers are a complete opposite. You know, John Suter, for some reason, runs out at the last second and tries to make contact. It falls to Raskin's man, who puts the ball in the back of the net. And like I said, because there's been no communication before the throws come in, if that's a normal thing and you've told Raskin, get tight to your man, get on a second ball, and he hasn't done it, you can then go through him. But all that Rangers players seem to do, start pointing around a little bit, then it's okay, oh, let's kick off again and try and score a goal and try and get back into the game. It just seems to me that the players are just looking after themselves now. And as I said, I think they've been affected by what's been labelled at them. And it just seems that what's been labelled at them has actually been correct, Gordon.
Yeah. Well, you said you feel it as if it's worse, and I agree with Marvin, it's certainly not any better. But I think the big thing that I always felt at the start of the season was Rangers had these poor performances, they had these poor results, but they always kind of got a reaction. Mm-hmm. Even at the start of the season, there was always a bounce back. The next week, they would go on a little mini run again, and then it was another disappointment. You're not even seeing reactions now. That's, you know, you talked about four wins in the last 14, but Barry Ferguson, we're talking about, it's four wins in the last 11. So it's not, they're not frequently winning games. They're not going on runs. They've, I mean, I still find this stat remarkable. They've been 2-0 down in seven of the last 11 games. I mean, they're conceding goals at will, and they're certainly going to need some form of reaction to get any result against Celtic. And the surprising thing is, I agree with Robert, is you wouldn't be surprised if they get a reaction in this game, because this is the game where they seem as if they have done that wee bit better this season, and it probably is because they don't have the ball. You know, they seem as if they are a better team when they've not got the ball and they can get after teams and hit teams in the counter-attack. But listen, it's a, whatever the result may be at the weekend, it's a small win in what's been a poor season.
Thank you, Robert. Let's play this. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. It's much easier than normal on a Monday because Marvin Bartley's here instead of Roger Hanna. So you've got a chance. 01419511025. Lines close at 7. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Andy Halliday's in the building. It's great. He's not too big time for us, despite winning Motherwell's Players Player of the Year award at the weekend. I've just had some good fun during the break there reading the replies to your what's more people interested in, your hair, your tie, your jumper? Someone said you didn't realise you were a Hogwarts pupil. One of them said, which you quite like because you're a Harry Potter fan.
I
quite like that as well. Someone said his mum's definitely spit in her hand and flattened his hair to make sure her boy looks good for the night.
See, this is more like a Monday.
Exactly. Bringing them back down to earth. They're the nice ones. I missed out the rest. Anyway, we've got so much to get through. Of course, we've looked back on Celtic's title win, and there is a lot more mileage there. So if you want to join in, keep them coming. We've been speaking about that Rangers performance and result. As usual, St Mirren fans, you'll be annoyed because your good bit in all this will be getting lost. I mean, in theory, you've not got a lot to play for, and then you go and put in a performance like that. How impressive was it? Give us a call. Hearts fans, please, this is a huge story over the weekend. Neil Critchley, only in the door since October and gone already. Was it the right call? Let us know and we'll play this first. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Right, Beat the Pundit time. I wonder how the nerves are for Andy Halliday. He's so close
100%.
To an invincible season. He's nearly there. Still feeling relaxed about it?
Yeah.
Was it a big night out on Saturday?
No, I was driving.
So. Ah, right. So there's no like...
No, there's no excuses.
No like fitness test or anything to pass today as well. Wonder how the Celtic players celebrated over the weekend.
Oh, probably still celebrating now, man.
How's the league table looking? Where's Marvin sitting?
Can you believe it?
I'm second.
He's the best of the rest.
This is a tough Monday.
He's the best of the rest. Because he's obviously not as good as Roger, but Roger starts on minus two.
Hey, league table doesn't lie, Marv.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Roger's the grass as well, so that's why he's down. Took my 10 away from me.
I'll take it back. Mark Wilson's above you.
What? Yeah. What a week he's had.
He's an 86% win rate. You've got 84. So you could.
How have
him.
I gone down? I won last week. I was 85 last week. He was 86 and I won. I've gone down to 84.
Right, so what were you last week?
85.
So still below Mark then. So
yeah, but then I've won
it.
And I've gone to 84.
Someone's just rounded it down.
Producers,
you're
at this
still
place.
Below him. Scott's in Clydebank. How's it going, Scott?
Aye, not bad.
Always like local caller, Scott. If you win, I'll just get Andy Halliday to open the front doors and boot the ball into the canal and you can pick it up at some point. No, right?
Gosh, be far away there.
I may not catch it. Listen,
heads, it will be... and can I just actually say, I want to go on record and apologise for the behaviour in here on Thursday night. It was a very difficult evening for the competitor on Beat the Pundit. It didn't really go to plan. And we probably took it a bit further than we should have. Let it be known, we have sent a signed ball by way of apology. Yeah. I couldn't sleep for that on Thursday. Did you hear this?
No.
Those two idiots.
Yeah.
They go and they dragged me down with them. So the contestant got zero, right? And it was a real zero. And then I kind of was joking. I said, okay, I'm going to try and get you one on the board. And I read the next question. We got that wrong as well. So then they said, because you know, we always try and go for 10.
Yeah.
They were trying to get them to go for 10 wrong answers. Okay. So then read the next one and he hung up.
Oh,
and I felt so bad. I know. I felt so bad. So
I've
sent a sign
for that.
And they didn't even care, those two. They thought it was great sport.
That's shocking.
Anyway, don't worry, Scott. I'll be much. I've learned my lesson. I do feel bad. So we'll be kind tonight. Heads, it's Andy Halliday. Tails, Marvin Bartley. And it is tails.
Oh, Marv boy.
Pressure tonight. You're sitting next to a proper bandit player.
Well, potential go down no matter what happens anyway. So
85%, mate. You're flying.
Yeah. Okay, let's give Scott something else to listen to. Sorry, Marvin, something else to listen to. That'd be a strange way of doing it. Scott, 30 seconds, answer as many as you can, and you're fine to pass and move on, okay?
Cool.
Let's do it then. 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Who scored Celtic's fifth goal against Dundee United on Saturday? Who won Rangers Men's Player of the Year last night?
Raskin.
Name either side who made the FA Cup final.
Crystal Palace.
Which former Celtic player currently manages Exeter City?
Pass.
Which team play their home games at Gala Bank?
Arbroath.
How many points separate Falkirk and Livy at the top of the Championship?
None.
Who's the only non-Celtic player in the PFA Scotland Player of the Year shortlist?
Simon Murray.
Okay. Marvin Bartley, can you hear us?
Decent tunes, by the way.
That was rapid. I'm telling you, they don't do 30 seconds every week. It changes.
What?
That was about 20.
So hold on. The accusation usually is that I give the contestants longer. So now what? Now you're complaining that I didn't give him enough time.
Ah, you've done Scott in.
But well, tell you what, Scott nearly get through all the questions. So Scott's good. Pressure's on you here.
Come on in.
You ready?
Yeah.
Same set of questions. Time starts now. Who scored Celtic's fifth goal against Dundee United on Saturday?
Either.
Who won Rangers Men's Player of the Year last night?
Raskin.
Name either team who made the FA Cup final.
Palace.
Which former Celtic player currently manages Exeter City?
Caldwell.
Which team play their home games at Gala Bank?
Annan.
How many points separate Falkirk and Livy at the top of the Championship?
None.
Who's the only non-Celtic player in the PFA Scotland Player of the Year nominees?
Simon Murray.
Hearts midfielder Sander Kartum is from which country?
Hungary.
You were flying! Tell you what a run though. What a performance that is.
Scott, what do you think?
Aye, it was good there.
I'm getting annoyed at this though, because Scott, you were decent. You were really good.
I don't know, must be a Monday.
You're just a different performer this season. You sound so confident.
That's the only stadium I'd have known as well, Annan.
That was why like that. You're usually rubbish with stadiums. Yeah,
because it's Queen of the South's rivals.
I wouldn't have got that.
No?
No.
Okay.
I'm the same as you. That's my weakness. I'm terrible at stadiums.
Adam Ida got the fifth goal. Both got it right. Rangers Men's Player of the Year was Nicholas Raskin. Is that the right choice, Scott?
Aye.
Yeah.
No, Andy. Aye. I'd say sorry. Aye. I thought you asked if that was the right answer.
No. Andy, right choice.
Aye.
Raskin for you, Andy.
Over the course of the full season, probably. Yeah. I think Cherney's been really good, but I think Raskin over the consistency levels, I'd say him. Yeah.
Were you not part of one of the infamous Player of the Year nights when you really just wish you didn't have to have one at Rangers?
Oh yeah, that's right.
Oh, fans that's not right, come and make their feelings known.
Like, we got stormed.
I never heard this.
No,
we genuinely entered the room
while we were in the we were in the main lobby.
Oh,
the reception.
Right, okay, all right.
About 2,000 people stormed it. Surprised it didn't happen again. Oh man,
is that just
wasn't great?
Because again, last night, and Nicholas Raskin's a perfectly fine season, and fair play to him. And it's like Hearts. We spoke about it last night. Then you kind of just—it's not must be so awkward.
Listen, we've all been there. Even ourselves at Motherwell, your player of the year does on Saturday night. You've got a massive game against St Johnstone during the day, and of all days, you can't lose a day with this award.
We were talking about it in here when you went 1-0 down, thinking,
St Johnstone, are you always going to come back?
I a couple of years ago was asked to host Dundee United's Player of the Year Awards, and in the weeks building up to it, they were just getting closer and closer to the bottom, and my stomach was in knots, because I'm thinking, like, it's already quite a tough gig, and how are we going to do this if they're like bottom of the table? Is this going to be the worst ever? And I think with like a few days to go or something like that, they just pulled the plug and it was the year they got relegated on the last day at Fir Park.
I bet you were delighted.
I've never been so happy to lose out on work in my life. I would have paid to
not
get
to
out
have
of the awkwardness. Anyway, we went off on a tangent there. You're both level. Man City, Crystal Palace for the cup final. Both got it. So we're flying here, three each. The former Celtic player who manages Exeter City is Gary Caldwell. Marvin goes one.
Two ex-Liddy boys there.
Front. Galabank is Annan. Mm-hmm. Marvin goes two in front.
Oh, Scotty
the
boy.
Thing is, Scott is good because he still knew that Falkirk and Livier level on points. He still knew that Simon Murray was the only non-Celtic player on the shortlist for Player of the Year. Maeda, Coon, McGregor and Simon Murray. But it was not enough. He's beaten you by two, Scott. Honestly, any other night, I think, what was that? You got five? Four, five? Five is a perfectly good score. But
I had no clue with the Caldwell, and then the Hingley was, the stadium was just a total guess.
I thought you were going for 10.
So did I.
Where's Cartoon? Where's he from?
Man, I realised.
Oh, did you? Did you know? Yeah, Gayfield, it is. It is near the sea.
As soon as I said that, I realised.
Cartoon is Norwegian.
Oh, what did I say? Hungary?
Yeah. I had no idea with that one.
I thought, it'd have been good to see you go for the 10 there. Yeah.
Roger would have called up and noticed something, though. He'd be listening.
We spoke about Nicholas Raskin there. Scott, where are you now as a Rangers fan? Have you just written this season off completely? Are you done with it? Or do days like Saturday still annoy you? How are you feeling?
Saturday kind of... It never bothered me because it's happened that many times on Saturday. Like, I wasn't even annoyed at it.
Is that the worst, though, then, in a way? You know, like, see if you're worn down to the point of not really caring, that's even worse sometimes, isn't it?
Actually, but you're starting to get used to it as a Rangers fan, so it's like you're getting let down every week, so you're starting to expect it sometimes.
That's just tough thing, isn't it?
Sorry, man.
Nah, go on.
It was kind of what we're saying at the start. You just have that feeling that the club and the fans are just kind of just there to what from now to the end of the season, try to support the players in the club where they can. But I think a lot of people have just got one eye on this takeover and try to reset.
That's like me. There's my eyes are on the takeover and hopefully a new manager that will actually do something instead of just being in the same boat as the rest of them.
Maybe it wouldn't have changed like the bigger picture, but would it have not been nice to sort of maybe get to the end of the season where you put in a string of results, maybe a string of performances, and then people maybe say, well, the revamp in the summer's actually not as big, you know, and he can do a job and he can do a job, but you're now, it's heading in the, you know, it's with every passing week it seems to be heading further.
That's going in the wrong direction. Players should be playing for their futures, though. You know, if they want to stay at Rangers Football Club, all the excitement that the fans are talking about if the takeover is to happen, these players are playing for their futures. And as I said, you know, no disrespect to St Mirren, there's no way that they should be going there and drawing 2-2. There's no way they should be taking 1 point from three games. Regardless of who the manager is, and I know Barry Ferguson's kind of, you know, getting it from people now, this is down to the players crossing that white line. As I said, that the goals they're conceding aren't acceptable. That comes down to organisation. That comes down to people willing to block things. I feel sorry for whoever's in goal, whether it's Liam Kelly or Jack Butland, because they're constantly tested. Mistakes are constantly being made in front of them. You know, as Liam said, players aren't following instructions. And he said when they're playing forward the ball the other day, they were aimless outside of the couple of goals. That's obviously what Barry Ferguson wants. They play the ball through the lines. If you get impressed, play through the lines, get turned and you know, get shots away and just control games of football. But they're not doing those sorts of things. As I said, it seems like a team now of a lot of players are just worried about themselves or just thinking, you know, as long as I don't make the mistake and it's somebody else, they're going to get it, rather than saying, I'm going to stand up, be counted, take the game by the scruff of the neck. And I feel sorry for the ones who are clearly out there, you know, trying to give it everything, because it seems like the other boys are just on holiday at this moment in time.
Because it's only a few weeks ago, Scott, that, you know, people on the show and others would maybe be saying, I mean, what are we going to do? Imagine Barry Ferguson wins all the remaining games and goes far in Europe. Those conversations feel like such a long time ago already, don't they?
Aye, well, I was in the same boat. When Barry Ferguson got appointed, I wasn't writing him off like straight away. Whereas a few fans said that they don't want him as a manager at the end of the season. It was kind of a wait and see. But he's not like, the same way. He's not took his forward, but as Ruse was saying earlier on, he's not took his back either.
Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it, Andy? Because I think also we mentioned it at the start. See, when you've got a small sample, there are certain things that look really good in a small sample, but once you stretch it, it's never going to be sustainable. We spoke about the, you know, maybe having to change system. You do that a couple of times within a game and get a reaction. It looks great. You then know you can't change in game every. There's just no team does it. They just don't change formation every week. Then, you know, the back three that did so well in Istanbul early, so that's been then the blueprint that's tried to be copied a few times. You now see a game like Saturday lining up and you think, I don't know, what's the point now? You know, the irony of, you guys can tell me, and I know it's not as simple as this, but the irony of that, the back three, back five isn't all meant to be more solid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. Absolutely shipping goals for fun.
But it's that's just what it is though, isn't it? It's Barry Ferguson's just searching for a formula. He's searching for a blueprint that works and it's consistent enough to get results on a regular basis for Rangers, and he can't seem to find it. You know, he kind of fell in the back three, back five after saying he'd watched Fenerbahce, he's seen strengths, he's seen weaknesses, he's seen as if that was a way forward for Rangers. He got a bit of success on it, so you can see why he kept with that going into the Celtic game, going into the return leg for Fenerbahce. It's not worked domestically, but even when he's made the kind of in-game changes, you know, some have worked, some haven't. I think it's just down to personnel and the quality he's got at his disposal. And you know, it's interesting, Scott, talking about Barry Ferguson. That, you know, we've rhymed off the stats there now, 17 points behind, 4 wins and 11. I still actually think he's came across really well over the period of time. I think he's handled himself well in the media. And listen, I've continually said, I don't think he'll be the one that gets the job moving forward, but I think he'll come through still with a lot of plaudits on how he's handled himself, because it's been a really difficult situation.
He's frustrated though, isn't he? You can see after the St Mirren game when he said, you know, you speak to players individually, you speak to them as a group, and they're just going out there, basically backing up what Liam Kelly has said, going out there and doing their own thing. And do you know what? Again, regardless of who the manager of Rangers Football Clubs, you should be able to put 11 players out there against the majority of the season, go and win games of football, and they're doing their utmost to make sure they're not taking 3 points on a Saturday.
Let's hear from him on this notion of, you know, not having a fear factor anymore.
Yeah, people don't fear playing Rangers now. Whether that's at home or away, they enjoy coming to Ibrox teams. And then when you go away from home, teams look if they can bully you, run harder than you, get in about you. And yep, that's something that again needs to change going forward. You need to build a strong team domestically. And I'm sure whoever takes the job will hopefully totally understand that.
I take it that is the case, Andy, because let me speak personally for a minute. We're, as a fan of a so-called wee team, you always sort of felt that, see, even when the big teams are in bad form, they're still like massive favourites for every game, and that there is still a bit of a fear there that at any time they could still give out a real beating. It genuinely doesn't feel that way right now, or are we getting swept up in it?
No, I completely agree with Barry Ferguson, and I've said that a couple of times. When you look at the games that they've lost, you know, in times of old, shall we say, when Rangers and Celtic have lost games, you already know the script. You watch the highlights and they're battering the door down. They've had chance after chance. They've had 25 shots on goal and the other teams went up the pitch and nicked a set piece and won 1-0. That's not what these games have been, that Rangers have dropped points. You're watching highlights time and time again, and St Mirren are missing opportunities to go win the game. They've got umpteen opportunities out with the two goals they've already scored. And Rangers' best opportunity the weekend outside the two goals is Desser's first chance in the first half where he could do really well, and that's it. I mean, it's a Vaclav Cherny effort for the corner of the box. They're not creating real great goal scoring opportunities. They're not having a lot of control in the game, and defensively they just look so frail in the chances and the goals that they're conceding.
Yeah, I think it's totally gone from, you know, can we hang in there against Rangers and like Andy said there, nick a set play and potentially get a goal, to, you know, this is their strengths. They have a couple of them, but their weaknesses are absolutely glaring. You know, like Andy's saying there, defensively, can we get at them? Can we play through the lines against them? Can we rough them up, as Barry Ferguson's talking about as well? Can we get the defenders turned? Can we get long balls into the box so they don't want to defend it and crosses into the box? And it's just all of these things are causing a massive, massive problem for Rangers. They look, you know, weak across the board. As I said, they've got no one that looks like they want to stand up and be counted and take the game by the scruff of the neck. And I don't just mean by, you know, the attacking players, by scoring goals. I mean defensive players as well, by being solid, by organising, by marshalling everyone that's in and around them. It just looks like individuals trying to look after themselves. As I said, teams are going to play them there. And that fear factor 100% has gone from Rangers.
Thank you to Scott on the line, 01419511025. Hearts fans, where are you? Was it the right decision to sack Neil Critchley or not? Let us know right now if you can. Anything else you want to discuss or debate, 01419511025, and we'll get you on next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football, 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Marvin Bartley are here. It's 01419511025. So do give us a call, please. You can tweet us at Clyde SSB if you would rather do that. And since I'm running through the contact us information, I might as well tell you about the email address if you want your question used on the full time teaser. So the address you need is fulltime@clyde1.com. That's fulltime@clyde1.com. Get your thinking caps on. Put something across to us, we'll give you the shout out and the credit you deserve. Robert Beaton has sent this one in. Not relation of the referee, I don't think. Unless maybe it is, I don't know. It's the last 11 refs to book Andy Halliday. Many bookings you got this season?
I'm not sure.
No suspension or anything?
Nah, they get reset in January, didn't they? So
I think you're in about 7. I'm sure I looked at it for something. Can you name the last 11 players who've played in and won the FA Cup final who've played in Scotland? So can you name the last 11 players to have played in and won the FA Cup final and they've also played in Scotland?
Andy Robertson.
No.
No? So is that Liverpool or Andy Van Dijk?
No.
Oh, Liverpool won the FA Cup? They're hopeless.
Sean Maloney. That's...
Should we use this opportunity to congratulate Scotland captain, yes, Andy Robertson on yet another English Premier League
him
title?
And what about Scott McTominay?
Watch that game, by the way.
We'll probably win the World Cup now when you think about it.
Good goals from him, by the way.
They're going to win that, aren't they? Serie A as well. Roma beat Inter.
Drop points. Goals.
So what are they, 3 points ahead with three or four
games to go?
Something like that.
I must say though, as much as I want Billy Gilmore and Scott McTominay to pick up a winner's medal, I'd love to see that playoff game to win the league.
Oh no, the do or die.
Oh, imagine that year.
No.
Is that what they do?
Yeah,
if they're level on points, they play basically a final to win the league.
Yeah, that would be.
But seriously, I think because we're, in a sense, we're kind of not over the Andy Robertson story, but everybody knows it now, and we dealt with it, and it, you know, it got mentioned a lot. But I think now we almost need to revisit it. That's the Scotland captain. That's the guy who was at Queen's Park and so on, who's won yet. It's another English Premier League to add to one that he won previously, to add to the Champions League, not the FA Cup, incidentally. But you know, I feel like we didn't all. I'm not saying we've always done this, but are we back to taking that for granted a bit?
Yeah, I think so. Like you said, the things that he's won and playing in one of the best teams out there, it's been unbelievable. It really, really has. Like you said, especially the way, you know, he came through and, you know, being at Dundee United, etc., and Queen's Park, and you know, for any young Scottish player out there who's looking at, you know, a career in football and how far can you go? What are you laughing at?
Producer just buzzed and said, "Oh, Robertson and Van Dijk are both correct." By the way,
well, I was thinking that.
How'd you miss those two, though?
Yeah, that's the problem.
Seriously.
So we should just last 13 then?
Nah, we'll just cut off the bottom two.
Maloney's probably wrong now.
We'll keep it at 11. No, Maloney's one. Right. My goodness.
Fraser Fivey.
He went there, played.
He didn't play.
Did he not?
I thought he maybe came on actually. Seriously, I'm ripping this up. I am seriously ripping this up.
Don't tell me he played. You want to cut me, I guess, or not?
Nah, let's leave it. We'll go back to it. Let's bring in Callum, who's a Rangers fan. Callum, how are you?
I'm good.
What are you thinking?
I was just saying to the producer, I'm 18 and I've been watching Rangers my whole life. And this is going to be one of the worst seasons that I've watched.
Yeah, just kind of state the obvious, what's been bad about it?
First, I think it was Clement. I was a big hater on Clement. I didn't like his style and what he brought to Scottish football. I thought he was more suited to Europe because we did have good results in Europe under Clement. But in the league, it was just so poor, especially this season.
I mean, Andy, it's difficult to, because so much has happened. I think it's remarkable to think, round about this time, maybe not a bit earlier, this time last year, talking about Rangers maybe being able to go on and and win it. So to fast forward to now, it's been quite the drop off.
Yeah, it has, and you just feel as if, you know, the club and the playing squad, you just feel as if they've regressed, you know, since Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, even, who took the team to the Europa League final, never won the title that year. But you look at even that squad then, I think the each year previously, I just think they've regressed a little bit, and you know, there's not been that many positives to cling on to this year. You look at the Europe run, which has been great, but it's actually, you know, it's an area where Rangers have been, you know, pretty good for a period of time, and everyone will say it domestically is obviously your bread and butter, and the competitions have not went well for Rangers, obviously being defeated to Celtic in the League Cup, and then obviously a really poor run again in the Scottish Cup, so it's been a really disappointing season again.
Are you the same as the previous caller, Callum? What did you make of Saturday, or are you past sort of caring?
to be honest, I'd rather do other things at this point in the season than watch my team on a Saturday.
I've got a new topic in mind. What things would you rather do than watch your team at the moment? That's quite a good one. I think we could get some creative answers. What did you do on Saturday, Callum?
Well, I was actually at a BB event, so it was a...
Just keep them away from it all. That's the idea. Oh, you too long to explain to you. Don't they've got the boys BB. Brigade and Reading?
They've always got a good tuck shop at BB, ain't they? So
I can imagine that. Aye. Some of the like fizzy cola bottles or something.
Superb.
Is that? I said Marvin. Some people will switch off, but some people don't. You don't want to, and you shouldn't have to. And because look, I know there's a totally different pressure and a totally different expectation. We're talking about Rangers, you know, tailing off. St Mirren have, in a way, got nothing to play for. Mm-hmm. In a better sense, you know, they've reached their objective. Top six, fifth is probably just going to be too much for them. But you know, look at the way they're still going about their business. So where are you just on that, you know, professional pride or playing for your future or whatever it is?
Yeah, listen, like you said, that there has to be pride in terms of doing it. Because when you play at big clubs, you don't know how long you're going to be there or how long it's going to last. And that has to be ultimately it for the Rangers players. They know so far this season, they've let themselves down, they've let the club down, they've let, you know, a couple of managers down now, and they've let the supporters down, which are the main, you know, the main people. So it's one of those things, you want to end the season well. You know, can we go on a run? They're constantly saying to themselves, you know, okay, post-split, can we go and win, you know, 5 out of 5 and at least have a little bit of momentum going into the summer? But you said there that they're getting worse. They're playing against the St Mirren team, regardless of what, if St Mirren has something to play for or not, that, you know, they should be going there and beating them. And they're conceding goals that they shouldn't be conceded. The whole thing, the whole package at this moment in time from what those players are producing. And Barry's coming out and he's saying it, you know, I've spoken to them individually, they tell me one thing. Speak to them as a group, you know, that they're agreeing with me, they're saying they understand it. And then they go out there and produce it. So regardless of who the manager is, it just seems it's over to the players. And we've heard it on so many occasions, these players will continue to let managers down. And that's why I think when it gets to the summer, takeover or no takeover, there has to be a massive shake-up at that football club because something isn't right there.
Thing is, you were always kind of, you always felt, you know, back in the day when Rangers had a really good side and Celtic had a really good side, that the, you know, the league title would be decided on the head-to-head record mm-hmm. against each other. And Rangers have actually got the better of Celtic head-to-head over the three fixtures so far, yet they're still 17 points behind. I don't know about you, Gordon, but if we were told at the start of the season that Rangers' head-to-head record going into the split was better than Celtic's, you'd envisage potentially Rangers being top of the league or certainly going into a title challenge with the last four games remaining. So it's just remarkable we're at this stage and there's such a big gap between the two sides.
Okay, Callum, thank you very much. Callum and Springburn, 01419511025 is the number that you need. You'll be pleased to know, in a sense, Fraser Fivey did not come on in that cup final. He was on the bench, so we can get back to that. What about your former club, Andy Halliday? Hearts fans, I've been saying it all night, give us a call. If not, we can maybe catch up as the week progresses, but this would be a good time. It's one of our biggest clubs and they've sacked their manager, so that's a big deal, Andy. What did you make of it? Right call or not?
Not for me. I was actually still surprised, believe it or not, when I seen the news, even though there's been a lot of noise coming from Tynecastle and a lot of unhappy Hearts supporters. I get it, when you're a fan-owned club and when the fans turn on you, it's very, very difficult for the manager to sort of win that adulation back. But I'm not saying for one minute that I think Neil Critchley's done a fantastic job, but I just think the fact that, you know, the form table since he's came in, they're sitting fourth in the league, he's not had a pre-season, he's not had a summer transfer window. And people say yes, he had a January transfer window, but everybody knows it's a lot harder window to do your business and your recruitment. So I think he would get the very, very least this summer and heading into next season. And I was really, really surprised to see the news at the weekend. And what it just seems to me from the outside looking in that Hearts have just hit the panic button almost for the game at the weekend and felt as if they could potentially get dragged into that playoff spot. But yeah, I must say I was personally surprised.
What about the record in big games, the derby record, that sort of stuff? That's what people are using to justify it being the right call, obviously.
Yeah, well, listen, that's why I'm not saying he's done a fantastic job, but I think if you take a lot of the games in isolation, they've been tight games, they've not been blown away. We were in here watching the game against Aberdeen last weekend with a good 29 men and obviously lose the game so late on. But I played under a manager, Robbie Nielsen, who had an unbelievable record then with derbies, and it wasn't good enough and Hearts fans wanted rid of him, and he finished third in the league and eventually lost his job. So again, I can understand the argument for the record in the big games. I can understand if people say it was the wrong appointment, but I think his body of work over the period of time, for me, I don't think it's enough to lose your job.
do you think it was made more difficult with Hibs doing as well as they have?
Well, I was touching on this a wee bit earlier. It's, you know, you look at the form table and Hearts being fourth in that form table with a game in hand on Hibs that if they won, they would go 7 points behind Hibs in that sort of mini form table. Hibs have went 16 games unbeaten in that run. So it's like you've took Hearts, Hibs, sorry, been unbelievable, going on a run of form that they've not done for years and still only being, you know, a 7 point margin away. So it's not as if it's miles behind considering they've been 16 games unbeaten in that run. And again, I can understand if people tell me they don't think he's done a good job. I can get that. I just don't think it's been enough to lose your job.
Toby's a Hearts fan. Is that the right decision for you, Toby?
I agree with Andy, to be fair. It's been a really up and down since he came in. It's the big games. He's Hearts, Aberdeen, Celtic, Rangers, all the results have been terrible against them. I think the red cards in the games against Dundee United and Aberdeen just blew his job, to be honest. But I've been saying since Boxing Day against Hibs that I don't think he's the man for the job, because it's just the way the players have been playing. Shanklin's been just not the player he was last season, and I think that's why Naismith also lost his job.
I mean, Marvin, we could then go back, people, because it wasn't that long ago, some people are saying, you know, he was never the right guy, never had the credentials, never had the CV. What allowed some people to look beyond that is this question of, well, is this Jamestown analytics era where it's a bit more nuanced, it's a bit more intelligent, it's a bit more detailed than just to say, oh, where has he been, what has he won? You know, there's more to it than that. Is this a gem that they've uncovered? But then some people now, obviously using it as proof, will say, no, oh, I told you all along, he didn't have, maybe didn't even have the personality, the stature, whatever all that means. What do you think when you look back?
Yeah, listen, it's been a difficult one for Neil, but I'm more to side of Andy and Toby in terms of, you know, since he's been at the football club, they sit fourth in the form table. I actually remember watching them against Hibs when James Wilson scored an equaliser really late on in the game. You know, both teams were towards the bottom of the table, both struggling, and I thought Hearts were actually the better team. I think you could see what they were trying to do. They had more of a style about the way that they were playing. And I thought to myself, do you know what, Neil Critchley's going to get this right, you know, because you can see what he was trying to build there. But then I've watched him in other games, one of them being Dundee in the Cup, and Hearts were all at sea. It just seems to me, you know, when they're on top of teams, you know, they're absolutely fine. But as soon as it, you know, they begin to tire playing that diamond formation, teams are getting down the side of them or the 4-4-2, they look so exposed. And I think that's one of the things that the fans had enough of. I think he was relatively stubborn in terms of wanting to stick that way. You know, I think they want to see the 4-3-3 or 4-2-3-1, whatever it might be, just to give, you know, a little bit more width to what they were doing. So on one hand, I do feel sorry for Neil Critchley, because I do think he should have been given a summer window. The January window is so difficult to do your work in. But on the other hand, I think, you know, again, I agree with Andy, once the fans do turn on you, it's very difficult for the board, you know, to stick with that manager.
Is that the problem, Toby? Did even if Hearts had just dug in for a bit, you'd then go into next season with a manager who had no goodwill in the tank, really, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I agree with Marvin, to be fair. The Jamestown analytics is a bit difficult, because would Critchley be allowed to bring in his own players, or is he being told by the club and by the analytics what players are coming in? So I don't know how they've decided that was the game to sack him after. I feel like if he won the semi-final, we're going to a cup final, he'd keep his job till next year. But I think the performance in the semi-final was incredible with 10 men. But apart from that, we've went out of Europe against a Moldovan team, which is pretty awful. That we needed to win that game, didn't win the game. We had Motherwell and Dundee United to win to get top six, didn't win those games. And it's throughout the season as well, the Ross County collapse, also the Dwight Gale at Tynecastle. It's just lots of different situations that just shouldn't be happening at Hearts. So I feel like it's the right decision, but who replaces him? That's the question.
That is the question. You got a name for us?
No one from Scotland, hopefully.
Oh, I'll be going to Paisley.
Well, that's the thing.
Well, that's the obvious one, isn't it?
It has to be. It has to be. I think they have to do everything within their power to try and, sorry, St Mirren fans, to get Stephen Robinson across to Tynecastle. I think it's a no-brainer. You want someone who knows the league. You know, top six 3 years in a row with St Mirren. Done a fantastic job there. I'll be going all out to get him to come to Tynecastle 100%.
Tony Bloom's £10 million investment using Jamestown Analytics, and your two favourites are a cert to be Stephen Robinson and Derek McKinnon. because of how well a job they've done in Scotland.
Because I'm not saying it's right or it's wrong, and he may well come out shining in the algorithm, but is that the difficulty? You spend millions and millions of pounds on a database that's supposed to uncover and look in a level of detail. Did you need to spend that when you could just... just get Stephen Robinson?
No, I'm saying, but he has to come out well. No matter what you're putting into that computer, it has to come out just because of what he's done, you know, in terms of like the money spent.
That's what I mean. You don't need a computer to tell you that.
No, you don't. But
I know I'm being very like blasé about it. I know it's more sophisticated than that. But
like you said, yeah, you know, I just think you have to go and get him. If even the computer says no, you just go and get him anyway.
Right.
Yeah, like
a little brown.
Right, Marvin. Right. Thank you to Toby for giving us his thoughts. We can do a bit more on that this week, Hearts fans. Thanks to Robert. Can you name the last 11 players who've played in and won the FA Cup final and also played in Scotland? You've got Virgil van Dijk and Andy Robertson.
Sean Maloney, no?
Sean Maloney, yep.
Gary Caldwell.
On the bench, actually, never played for Wigan, yeah.
Kasper Schmeichel.
Yes, so we'll leave it there. We'll get the rest when we return. Cash for Kids Day on Clyde One. Fancy a free holiday worth up to £5,000 whilst donating to Cash for Kids? How could you possibly say no? We've teamed up with stuarttravel.co.uk. They've donated a £5,000 holiday voucher, and it could be yours. Whether it is a family break, a luxury escape for two, the adventure of a lifetime, the voucher goes towards any holiday package or cruise. We're talking beach resorts, theme parks, cruises, safaris, Vegas, you choose. To enter, text the word WIN to 84901. The text just costs your standard network rate message, plus a voluntary £5 donation to Cash for Kids, and every penny of that goes to Cash for Kids. So you're giving a fiver to Cash for Kids, helping children who need your help in our local communities, and you might win the holiday voucher as well. So it's a proper win-win. Lines close Thursday 1st of May, 10 a.m. over 18s only. T's and C's at Clyde1.com. Text WIN to 84901.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We're on the home stretch then with Marvin Bartley and Andy Halliday. It's 0141 951 1025. If you'd like to join in, you can do. Still time to squeeze one in. If there's something you think we've missed or something you want to add to from earlier on in the show, we are here for it. On the teaser tonight, Robert's asking the last 11 players who've played in and won the FA Cup final and also played in Scotland. So the Liverpool duo, Virgil van Dijk and Andy Robertson, Kasper Schmeichel, Sean Maloney, you've got so far.
James Madison.
Yes, in that same Leicester team as Kasper Schmeichel.
Kieran Tierney
for Arsenal. Good, right, we're nearly there. We'll leave it there. I'll go one more guess then.
It'll be that, like, Arteta. He captained Arsenal, no?
Nope.
Do you want one more?
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Ramsey.
Yes, Aaron Ramsey. Remember on how good you told us he was going to be up here?
Yeah.
Actually, I can't think of him without thinking of you, because you were on here the night he signed.
Took the poster down.
Big Arsenal man, you should have heard. I'm going to play it back. I thought prime Messi had arrived.
I actually thought he was going to be unbelievable.
To be fair, I don't think you were alone.
Yeah.
Interim charge now at Cardiff, isn't he? Really?
Yeah, yeah. They went down, didn't they? 2-0 with West Brom. Yeah,
I saw someone making that point. Like, you know, every now and then you get kind of an appointment or something that makes you feel old. So is he's an interim charge, and is Jack Wilshere not an interim charge?
Norwich, yeah.
So how are these guys the managers now? It's quite something. But anyway, we've got time to get the rest of the answers. Right, let's take a look at the other big talking points from the weekend. You're still seriously not admitting that that's the Steel Men safe?
No, definitely not.
Oh, come on. Why are you doing that to me?
What, do you think they're safe?
Yes.
Yeah.
This is, do you know how serious this guy takes it? 10 minutes after full time at the weekend, he messages me, do you think that's enough? I don't know why you trust my opinion on it so much, I have to say. But
I think if
42 points.
Yeah, that's safe.
39 was enough if you go off the past 10 seasons.
I know, but it's not for me, and it's more about the number of teams that then need to pass you on that rather than just the point. Of course, you are.
It's seven points. Yeah, nah, that's safe.
But with Dundee, Killie and Hearts all in between. So how could they all pass you?
By winning games and we don't.
But they only play each other.
Listen, it's still mathematically possible, so we're not safe.
Don't. It would feel like a big win though.
Yeah, it did, absolutely. Just because it is so bunched up at that bottom of the table. And listen, regardless of what a result is, obviously you're focusing on your own job at hand, but then you come off the pitch and you see that Dundee go and beat Hearts. So it's like, it just shows how unpredictable this league's been all season and how unpredictable the bottom six is going to be. And again, I think it's going to be a really good run-in. You know, I've not been a massive fan of the split over the years, and I think
And I told you we would win you round.
Yeah, I think the split's kind of proved me wrong over the last couple of seasons. It's thrown up some entertaining scenarios, and I think we're in one just now.
Was it a better performance? Do you feel like, you know, because you guys maybe haven't been scoring a lot of goals recently or creating as much?
Yeah, certainly in an attacking sense, the way we were a lot more of a threat throughout. I think the period between sort of 25 minutes to when St Johnson get their second goal, I thought were really, really good. Could have scored we had a couple of chances to make it four, which in turn you feel would have a sealed the win earlier on. And then St Johnson scored a goal at nothing. Then it's a real nervy last 15-20 minutes of the game. But I think at this stage of the season, Marv will tell you, it's just all about getting the results over the line. But it felt as if it was a good performance at the weekend.
Speaking of big results, Mr Hibbs, are you now fearing for third place or not?
Yeah, fearing might be the wrong word, but yeah, listen, it's a lot tighter obviously with Aberdeen winning. I think it's a huge game now at the weekend for us against Dundee United. Need to go there and win that game. I don't even think a draw would be great. We need to beat them and, you know, create a 6-point gap between them and ourselves, and obviously, you know, hope St Mirren can take something against Aberdeen. But it's one of those things. I actually saw Chris Cadden in the gym earlier, and I was like, you know, you boys
we
have done...
We get it, you go to the gym.
Wait,
Marvin,
right? I was saying you boys have done so, so well.
Look at the size of your biceps, we know it's fine.
I've done so well. And if someone had said to him in November, you know, that you're in this position to you know, potentially go in third place. So yeah, it's one of those things. As Andy said, brilliant post-split. And, you know, I hope that Hibs can go on to do it.
He won't. He can't see it. You can. You had St Johnson gone anyway, yeah. But is that it?
Yeah, I said before the season started they were gone, and you know they've played that.
You said before the season started,
and they've played that way to, you know, really back it up. Right. I feel for them, I do, because listen, Simo seems like a really good manager as well. Seeing like people who are level headed, he's trying to play in a certain way, but yeah, I think they're gone.
Actually, I think they're in a must win scenario at the weekend against Kilmarnock, aren't they? Yeah. I think nothing other than a win in that game can give them a chance.
I kind of thought that for the weekend though. I thought that was it. See if you could kick off the post-split fixtures with a win.
The worst team.
And they would... No, I mean, if St, you know, St Johnstone would be on 32 points now, which would only be three behind Ross County.
Yeah.
You know, at this point, that you couldn't possibly say that it was over then.
I would have still said it. Like, I'm not there.
No?
Nah, they're done. Jeez.
I think the goal difference is so tight though, isn't it, between...
They need points, mate. That's the goal they need. We get goal difference.
Well, listen, if they beat Kilmarnock, you never know.
He's got a lot of faith in a lot of things changing here. Right, that almost does us. We've got plenty more to cover over the week ahead. Can you name the last 11 players who've played in and won the FA Cup final and also played in Scotland? Van Dijk and Robertson, Schmeichel, Maddison, Tierney, Ramsey, Maloney. 7 down, 4 to go.
Well, this is the last guess I've got, so I don't know where the other 4 are coming from. But Eko Oturi?
No.
Oh well, there we go then, 5 then.
Wow. The Wigan team, you've only given, you've missed two obvious ones.
The Wigan team.
So you gave me Maloney and five.
Winger.
Oh, come on, Hamilton Ackies.
Oh, Botham, James McCarthy. Package deal. James McCarthy.
Oh. Right. You're missing
two
from the same game. Man City 2011.
Played for Man City.
2011.
And it wasn't a Kouturi.
Can't believe I'm quoting. I can't believe I'm gonna.
There was always a goalie.
There was always a goalie.
I knew that was coming. Joe Hart.
And this might surprise you. 2011, a centre back.
Oh, it's one of them. Denier.
No.
Boyata.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Andy Halliday, Marvin Bartley. Enjoyed that. We are back tomorrow. We didn't even get stuck into the Player of the Year stuff tonight. That shows you how busy the weekend's been. We'll maybe do that tomorrow. The shortlists are out. We'll look at them. Of course, we build up to Sunday. I know it's not as meaningful. I know the way this city works, there'll still be a bit of appetite there. So join us tomorrow, 6 o'clock, and enjoy the rest of your Monday.